Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
But we are continuing our Christmas series in the pursuit of joy. Who feels like Christmas has snuck up on them this year? I am organized. Me too, Glenn. I'm an organized kind of person, but oh my goodness, I feel like it has really snuck up on me. I've got a few extra presents to buy. I've got to think about food. Who's got their menu all sorted? Give me a wave, all the turkey people. Give me a wave, all the ham people. Give me a wave, all the seafood people. Yeah, it's just around the corner. Well, as I said, we're continuing with our Christmas series this morning in the pursuit of joy. As the angels declared at the announcement of Jesus' birth, this season, the coming of Jesus, it's tidings, it's a message of great joy. Amen. It was a message that was to let the world know that what was about to happen was going to be world-changing and would have eternal consequences that would bring joy the world over. And over the last few weeks, we have been hearing about this, how as we are recipients of such great tidings, we can receive and live in the joy today that was declared over 2,000 years ago. And we've been looking at this concept of joy and the first Christmas story through the eyes of different characters in that story. That first week we looked at, who remembers the perspective that we looked at the Christmas story from? Who was it? Joseph, yes, gold star over here. And then last week, of course, we looked at who? Holy Spirit. Well, today we're going to be looking at Mary. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and buckle up, because here we have a lot of scripture to read. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Are we ready this morning? Are we ready to learn from Mary? All right. Verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried, everybody say hurried, to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." And Mary said, Mary's song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices." Everybody say rejoices. "In God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home Take a breath. Such a wonderful and beautiful account of the mother of Jesus. Mary, a 14-year-old Jewish girl. Give me a wave if you are 14 in the room. 14, yeah. 14-year-old Jewish girl in a moment having her young life interrupted and completely turned upside down. Going about her everyday life, then suddenly thrust into center stage, if you will, of God's unfolding salvation story. I remember wanting to be Mary many times in church plays and school plays, thinking that she was just the best character in the whole scenario, right? The mother of Jesus, can't get better than that. And you know, I always used to look, you know, at whether it be Christmas cards or nativity scenes, Mary and her, it was always blue, wasn't it? This lovely blue headdress, and she's cradling this newborn baby. Blissful, wonderful. And what joy, right? To be chosen by God like this for such an important and incredible assignment, to birth, to carry to birth and to raise the Son of God, Savior of the world. This moment is kind of like for us Pentecostal charismatics. It's like the, you know, the big prophecy moment, right? At a conference, we're all crammed in here. There is not a spare seat. The prophet's in town and we're all squished in waiting, wanting for the prophet to pick us out of the crowd and prophesy over us a life-altering, directional, prophetic word, right? Amen? Come on, I've seen you all at conferences before. Our holiness goes out the window as we're elbowing everybody out the way to get in here and get a seat and sit somewhere strategic wearing a very brightly colored outfit so that we can attract the prophet's attention. You know this is true. But it's easy to understand Mary bursting into song like this. Being chosen like this, all of us connect joy and rightfully so to those big life-changing moments, breakthrough moments. We are all at times in our life waiting and longing for the joy that comes from the answered prayer, the breakthrough moment, the business deal, the big day, or our, you know, having where we're having our own main character moment. We often see Mary and what happened here like this because we have transferred our understanding of stories and main character vibes onto this. You know, our modern day culture is very familiar with main character vibes. Have you heard of that term before? Give me a wave, nod. You know, she has main character energy. Yeah, have you heard that? Yes, having some nods, yeah. Well, Merriam-Webster defines this modern day term as dramatic self-confidence, obtrusive self-importance. Main character energy is an informal internet expression for self-assured bearing or behavior. The phrase is used both to compliment self-confidence as well as criticize its excesses. Does anybody know anybody with main character energy? No, maybe work with somebody with some main character energy. Well, some examples that Merriam-Webster gives is a manicure. Who loves a manicure? Have you got your Christmas manicure? An advertisement for a manicure stating, here are 31 birthday nail art ideas, from the understated quiet luxury vibes to bold glitter Barbie French tips that will give you your main character energy for your big day. Do you want to go out and get a main character vibe manicure now? Another example that it gives is a social media post. Someone with main character energy. And the caption reads, walking in the room with main character energy. I get such a rush out of walking in a room like everyone in there was just waiting for me to show up. Main character energy. Are we thinking of anybody now? Is this sounding like somebody you know? Don't look to the person next to you. There is even a term gaining more traction now known as main character syndrome, increasingly featuring in psychology literature as a mindset where people are so obsessed with seeing themselves as the main character in their life that it crosses over to self-centeredness at a level rivaling narcissism, inflated ego, and a lack of empathy and a lack of an awareness of anybody else in the environment. That's extreme, yes, it's extreme here. But you know, you don't have to look far to see the selling of this idea that joy is found as we all find our main character moment. our main character vibes. Our world sells us the idea that we can be whatever and do whatever we like if we put our mind to it or some hard work into it. I grew up being told that. Anybody else grew up hearing that? And part of that is true and part of that is good, but it has reached an extreme that we actually haven't seen throughout history before, quite like it is today. Historically, our sense of self was connected to family, to society, the society that we belong to, even our nationality. These things would have huge influence on people's opportunities and the decisions that they made in life. But today, as the world all over has become more resourced, technologically advanced, increasingly educated, and more globally connected, we have moved into an era of individualism, independence, and self-actualization. Through our own efforts, we can become all we can be, realize our fullest potential, and achieve our wildest dreams, all in the pursuit of joy. And then we add some more of our modern Western ideas on top of all of this, and in many respects, we have lost a more healthy grasp of reality that I, in fact, am not the master of my own universe with complete control. I do, in fact, need and am reliant upon other people in my life. And I do, in fact, have very real human limitations, right? Yet our culture would keep selling the other story that would have us grasping, striving, and selling all that we have to not acknowledge that reality, but to keep blasting past it, to embrace and chase this life of our dreams, our wildest dreams, all in the pursuit of joy. Sound familiar? Bruce Larson, in his commentary, unpacks a similar idea as he describes three different ways that we can all be relating to one another and the world around us. And the first is one-dimensional living, which is similar to this main character energy I just described, where we indeed are the center of our own universe, and everyone and everything else in the world is orbiting around us and our pursuits and dreams. And then he describes two-dimensional living. And here we are aware of people around us. They motivate us and we motivate them. But this is still very a self-centered view of the world. And this is a very transactional view of people. You know, what we can provide others and what we get in return for that. Much of society runs with this view. As we move through life, fulfilling our obligations, other in turn will fulfill their obligations towards us. And we see this play out in friendships, marriage, parenting relationships, workplaces, and the society, you know, all over. The way laws and everything are structured, there are rules governing relationships and how we should all get along so that everybody benefits. Are you with me? One-dimensional living, two-dimensional living, and then three-dimensional living. And this is where we are indeed aware that God is at the center of all things, that it's in Him that we live and move and have our being, that while, yes, we take responsibility for our own lives to mature and grow, and we've got free will and choice and all of that, we understand that it is God, that we are not the master of our own universe, that it is God who is working His will and His way in and through our lives, in and through the lives of the people around us and throughout the world. That's a bit of an overview of it, but I think that we get the idea, right? Thank you, Aaron. You get the idea. So why is all of this important, and what does it have to do with Christmas and joy and Mary? Well, because when we translate this modern idea of character energy to Mary and why she could rejoice in this moment, we will miss the opportunity to learn from her in this moment so that we could receive and experience the same joy she was experiencing. Because if we translate, again, this modern idea, we will see and interpret scriptures like we've just read in Luke as Mary's moment in the spotlight. And as we do that, we begin to approach our own lives and begin to wait for our own spotlight moment to experience and receive joy. And that type of joy is so far below what heaven, all of heaven, was declaring that day at the first Christmas. Mary was in no doubt living in more of a three-dimensional living mindset. As a young Jewish girl, she was very aware of God, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, her creator, her provider, her deliverer. And she also would have viewed herself in light of her people. A young Jewish girl, very aware of who she was. Her identity was tied to theirs collectively. She was aware that God always had been at work in her people, and she was aware that he promised to continue to be at work in and through her people. And it was this perspective that Mary lived by that enabled her to both receive and respond to the word and the work of God in her life the way she did. And this is where we can learn this morning to receive and respond to the promise and work of God in our lives so that we can experience her same joy. Does that sound good this morning? You know, sometimes God does come to us in big, more obvious moments, you know, and it is very clear to us sometimes in those moments what he's asking us to do and what he's gifting into our lives. But honestly, most of the time, he leads us into moments and seasons or brings things into our lives really quite ordinarily. Have you noticed that? And if we are stuck waiting for our angelic visitation moment, we might miss what he's already brought and is bringing into our lives, or the moments that he is currently leading us into. And I felt this morning that God wants to give us a moment to reflect and recognize the ways that he's already spoken to you, and to give you fresh perspective of the season that you are already in, to let you know that your moment right now, the season that you're in right now, like Mary, is pregnant, full of possibility and opportunity. Amen? It is. And he wants us to see that this morning so that we too can experience incredible joy as Mary did. Are you with me? So the first thing that we can learn from Mary, so that we can experience her same joy is, number one, if you're taking notes, Mary found joy as she surrendered her story for God's greater story. She surrendered her story to God's greater story. Let's think about this for a minute. What might have been Mary's hope for her future? In those times and in that culture, her dream would have no doubt included marriage and a family with a God-honoring man. You know, this honored God, it would have honored her family, and it would have secured her future. And we know that in part, these dreams were in fact starting to come true for her. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, who Matthew describes as a righteous man. So for her at this point, all was going to plan. What was instilled in her from a young age, right, and had become her own dreams were actually beginning to come about. Then enter Angel Gabriel. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Can you imagine hearing that for just a moment? Wow, that's a lot to digest. Could you imagine? I mean, there would be so much. I'm sure there was a mixture of things going on for Mary. I mean, she'd be overwhelmed and in wonder 100% at this supernatural angelic encounter, receiving a message direct from God through an angel. Incredible. But then, absolutely, her mind would have been spinning and awash, right, with the details of that. That, wow, this dream for motherhood that she had for the future actually was going to happen right now, apparently. And Joseph wasn't going to be the father, but the Holy Spirit. Like, could you imagine her trying to wrap her head around what all of this was meaning? And then, of course, no doubt, she would have been feeling all of the feelings that would have been coming along with all of that. Some of the anxiety, no doubt, thinking about the implications this was going to have on her life, her family, her friendships, the community that she was in. What would people say? What would her fiancé say? Her dreams and plans, her story was now interrupted with another, God's story. You know, and it would be easy at this point to suggest that Mary's best chance for joy and lasting happiness in a future more free of complications, ridicule, and heartache would be if she chose the story behind door number one, the story of her own design, the story of her culture's design. Yet we know in this moment, in complete surrender, she chooses door number two, the story of God's design. And what I love about this interaction is that Mary was allowed to ask some questions. She indeed asked how all of this was supposed to happen given her marital status. And God meets her right there in her questioning. And as she's wrestling this all out, we can see that her mind and her heart actually settles upon what she actually knows to be the most true, even in the middle of all of what she's experienced. You see, Mary had context for who was presenting this request and in part what this may have meant. You know, she would have grown reciting prayers and learning about Jehovah. She was well-versed in the customs and the rituals of her faith. And she would have grown hearing all the prophecies of the coming Messiah through books, through the scriptures like Isaiah and the Psalms and Daniel and the like. Mary, along with all of her people, they knew who they were waiting for. So even though she couldn't have completely understood what all this was about to mean for her, she did have some understanding of who was offering this alternate story to her and what the appropriate response might be to it. And it's in this heart posture she says those incredible words, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled to me." She surrendered her story to accept God's greater story for her life. So, what about you and I this morning? What do we do when the story we have written for our lives gets interrupted with another story? Put your hand up and give me a wave. If God has come over the story, over the journey of your life and interrupted your story with his own, with something different. Anybody? Or is it just me? You know, when we carefully, and it's quite rude when you think about it, when we carefully, we all do, we curate a plan for our lives, for the future, and we present that to God. This is how I need it all to go and the timing of these things. And thank you very much in Jesus' name, of course, right? And then somewhere along the way, sometimes it feels like all of that gets a little bit lost in translation when the story of our lives doesn't really look like what we were planning for in the beginning. Or maybe for some of us, life has, you know, played its way out pretty close to the plan that you had wanted. Bless you if that's you. That's amazing. You can come and pray for me later. It's all going well. But then perhaps maybe like Mary, God presents an assignment for us at a particular point of our life. And honestly, we can see that this assignment that he's bringing in front of us, it's going to be costly. And maybe it's not what we had in mind. Maybe it looks like a step backwards, or maybe it looks impossible. What do we do if we actually don't want the assignment that God has brought our way, or the assignment that he's putting in front of us? You know, as many of you know, long before we even had a thought to come to Sydney, we lived in Newcastle, and we had built this beautiful home that we'd spent a long time planning and building, and we moved in with our three cute, precious kids, and life was great. It wasn't perfect, but it was beautiful. Building this home and getting to see all of the planning, you know, come to fruition and enjoying that. I know that, hello, James, you're about to step into the same experience. Anybody else built a home and you move in, and it's a really blissful time. And our three little cute kids, we had great paying jobs. We were surrounded by friends and family. And then Aaron decides to come to me in the middle of all that and says, you know, I think God is calling us outside of Newcastle. He's calling us out of here. And I was like, no way. Absolutely not. like it's funny now, but at the time, my heart just couldn't go there. It took a long time for me to get on board with this idea. It took a long time for my heart to even soften enough to even consider what God was asking of us. And you know, we usually don't want to surrender our story because we think we absolutely know what will make us happy, don't we? It's okay to admit. We have it worked out what will bring us joy and when. And so we do sometimes find it really difficult to trust God when he or just life brings us things that we were not expecting or that look different to the original plan that we had for our lives. And you know, how could we experience the joy that God is wanting and trying to bring into our lives if we won't even consider accepting what he's trying to bring? Have you been there before? And then maybe sometimes we do accept the assignment that God gives us, but we lack joy in the middle of it. We're lacking some joy along the way because we are wrestling with him in the whole along the whole way. We're still trying to resist parts of it, or we're trying to control it all, the timing of it and how it is supposed to look. Have you been there? I have. It's a great way to lose your joy. Wrestling the whole way through, like trying to change a toddler's nappy. Have you ever been there? My boys. Anybody been there? They don't lie still. They just, both my boys were like that. And I remember being exasperated, thinking, look, if you just lied there, this will all be over in 2 seconds and you can get back to what you were doing. But no, sure, let's just drag this out for 10 minutes. That's great too. But with God and what he wants to work in and through our lives, it's not just that initial surrender. It's a continual surrender every day as we walk it out. Why? Because we can't actually complete the assignments that he gives us on our own. We can't do it without him. By definition, an assignment from God requires his enabling, like we learned last week, that overshadowing sense of his presence, making the impossible possible. Think about Mary's assignment. Even though in this moment, you know, she's bursting into song and she's experiencing great joy, we know what's coming, right? We've read a little further. We know that heartache and hardship is coming for Mary. But we do know as well, yeah, just think about that for a minute. To carry and birth the Savior of the world, that was going to lead to the greatest sacrifice of all time. And she was going to get a front row seat to all of the, I don't know, the trauma of that. But as Aaron shared last week, the Holy Spirit was not just in the overshadowing and enablement of that miraculous conception. He was going to stay with her, amen? He was going to keep overshadowing her, empowering her throughout her whole journey as the mother of Jesus. And so it is with us. We need to surrender to the Spirit's enabling and wisdom the whole journey through, amen? Another reason that we can sometimes lack joy in our assignment can be that we're comparing our assignment to somebody else's. Has anybody been there? I don't want this assignment, I'd like their assignment. I don't want this job, I'd really like their job. I don't want to be single in this season, I want to be married. I don't want my marriage, I would like their marriage, right? And on it goes. Sometimes we need to stop fussing and, you know, considering what's happening in other people's lives and surrender to what God is trying to birth and build in our own. Amen? Because that is where joy and peace will be found. This morning is a fresh invitation to us all to, like Mary, surrender again to the assignment God has given into our lives, to give God our yes again, and to choose to trust him again in the season that we're in with the assignments that he's giving us, whether we're at the beginning of an assignment or we are still faithfully walking it through to completion. Amen? Fresh surrender, my story for his story, my way for his way. The second thing that we can learn from Mary is this, number two, that joy was found as she realized her story was connected to the story of others. She realized her story was connected to the story of others. You know, after the angel had left, scripture tells us that Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. In the Message translation, Eugene Peterson says that Mary didn't waste a minute. She goes to see Elizabeth, who is also carrying a promise and a unique assignment. You know, how amazing would that be, realizing that she's not the only one in this situation, that there's actually somebody that she can go and talk to who is experiencing the same things, someone to lean on and to find support and encouragement from. You know, Mary didn't have main character syndrome that had her locked in her own world, thinking that this was all about her, it was all for her, and it was all dependent upon her. And she didn't sit down in that moment either to write out her Mother of the Messiah ministries, you know, that would be a blessing to her local community either. She didn't do that either. No, she simply paid attention to the connection that the angel told her about, that the miraculous was not just at work in her own life, but it was at work in Elizabeth's as well. And so she goes. And as soon as she arrives, you see this story connection between the two of them confirmed. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Confirmation of what the angel had told her. You know, God uses other people in our lives to bring confirmation. We can get a sense of what God might be asking of us, but he uses the community around us to bring confirmation, and we see it clearly here. It goes on, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. What's this? It's encouragement. Elizabeth is bringing her and giving her encouragement for believing the word of the Lord. And that's what others bring to our lives. We need encouragement. We might believe in the beginning when it's exciting and the prophet has said, thus saith the Lord. But as the journey goes along, we need other people to encourage us to keep believing, to keep going. Amen? Keep trusting. Mary's story and promise was connected to Elizabeth's, and not just in its beginning, but in its fulfillment, because the fruit of their promise was also connected. Mary was to birth Jesus, the Savior of the world, and we know Elizabeth was to birth John, the forerunner to Jesus, the one who would go before him to prepare the way for him. And if we zoom out a little bit wider here, in Matthew, he begins his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus, beginning all the way back in Genesis with Abraham, and he traces the lineage of Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. Why? To help us as his audience see clearly the connection between Jesus and Scripture, that Jesus was the one prophesied and that he was in fact the Messiah from the line of David. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because we need to understand that God doesn't release his promise and work his plan in a vacuum. He doesn't release promise and work and have it work out in a vacuum, in isolation. No, his promises and plans have and always will be in connection to the work that he started at creation that he intends to complete at his return. Every person, every word, every story left for us to read in Scripture, it's woven together in an incredible connected tapestry of his ultimate story for mankind, to which you and I are a part of. Amen? I have a picture for you, which you may have seen before. It's picture time. Give me a nod if you've seen that one before. It's beautiful. It's a picture, a visual representation of the connectivity of Scripture. So that baseline down the bottom, that white part, it represents the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. And that big long white line in the middle, it's the transition from the dividing line of old and new. And these coloured arcs represent names, people's stories, words, biblical themes and prophecies, and how they are repeated, connected, recurring, and fulfilled throughout Scripture. Such a beautiful and powerful visual representation of the connectivity, right, of God at work throughout history as recorded in Scripture. Mary's life, particularly this moment in her life, didn't exist and play out in a vacuum. It was right there, right there on that timeline. It was the fulfillment and the beginning point of an event so life-changing, it would affect all of mankind for the rest of time. And we could absolutely this morning grab a marker and continue that line outward, out, keep drawing until today, Sunday, the 14th of December, crazily enough, 2025. And we would see a continuation of arcs connecting names, people's stories, biblical themes and prophecies to us and others in the world today. Your life, my life, woven into the continued work of God on the earth. Isn't that incredible? The only one worthy of main character energy is God himself, the author of this incredible story. So what are the implications for us for knowing and being aware of this? Well, my part in God's story is absolutely connected to the story of others and the larger God story at play. My story is connected to people who came before me, and it's connected to people who are coming after me. The discovery and stewardship of God's plan and promises over my life, right? It's connected to other people, the people that God has placed around me. And I need to seek out and learn from others, receive encouragement and support, even correction at times, so that I can stay the course and keep the path and for my life to fulfill everything that God ordains it to fulfill. Amen? I can rest. Here's an implication of knowing this. We can rest in peace knowing that the one who created all of this, the one writing and ordaining all of this, is with me. He's leading me in it, and he's with me every step of the way. So some important questions that we can ask ourselves in light of all of this, firstly, is who am I connected with now? And are they helping or hindering me with my assignment, the assignment that God gives me? It's a great question. Who are you connected with now, and are they helping or hindering you with the God assignment for your life? Like Mary, we need to get us some good friends and some good community who can help us steward and discover God's plans and assignments for our life. Another great question is, who do I need to seek out? Who do I need to seek out? You know, sometimes we can sit back and wait for people to come along and make something happen for us or to come and speak some encouragement into our lives, and that's okay. But sometimes we need to get a little bit bolder and go and seek out some wisdom. You know, I've been there before and been a little bit shy. Oh, I don't want to bother you. And truth be told, I've probably been a little bit prideful. I didn't want anybody speaking into my life. Thanks, I've got it all sorted. But we need to be like Mary, and we need to go and seek out the wisdom from the people that God has put around us for our lives. Another great question, who do I need to encourage? Who do I need to encourage? Talk about an antidote to main character energy. Taking our eyes off ourselves for a quick minute and looking around to the people that God has placed in our lives who are waiting for us to see them and to invest time and encouragement and wisdom into their lives and helping them along their journey. Amen? Our story is connected to the lives and stories of others. And in knowing that and walking that out, we will experience joy like Mary did. And lastly, number three, we learn from Mary that joy is found when we realize that our lives are ultimately for his purposes. They're for his purposes. If I can have the keys player back, that would be great. Mary's promise and assignment, it wasn't just for her. Jesus wasn't going to be like the son that she would have dreamed about or the sons that she would have seen, you know, in her village and in her family. Jesus wasn't going to stay with her and make sure that she was looked after in old age, and he wasn't going to give her grandchildren. No, he had an assignment of his own, and the angel told her this right at the beginning in the announcement of his birth. Mary couldn't have known the fullness of what this was all to mean for her personally and how it was going to play out. It's like that beautiful song that we sing at Christmas, Mary, did you know? She couldn't have known. She couldn't have grasped what it was all fully going to mean. But we can see from her response that she did understand that this gift of motherhood was for a greater purpose, way beyond the blessing that it was just going to bring into her own individual life. And she sings, she bursts into song, and she says, from generation to generation, to Abraham and his descendants forever. What she was carrying wasn't just for herself. And here's the truth. We don't often like to talk about this as often as we should, partly because it's a truth we don't really like hearing or acknowledging. And this is the truth, that the life that we've been given to live, the gifts that God brings into our lives, and the promises that he speaks over our lives, they are not just for us. They're not just for us. Yes, God, he absolutely wants us to experience the fullness of peace and joy and blessing, but he is also wanting to release peace and joy and blessing from our lives to the lives of people around us. Amen? I think every parent in the room can attest to knowing this truth, at least in part. You know, I can remember feeding Bethany as a newborn when she was just little and tiny in my arms. And I remember bursting into tears. Could have been pregnancy hormones. But I burst into tears at the realization that the absolute bliss I was feeling in that moment, it was reserved. It was going to be for that season and moment in my life. That it actually wasn't going to last. Now the moisture in my eyes, John. That encapsulated within her beautiful, gorgeous, tiny bundle body, you know, was a whole life beginning to unfold, right? That one day I would need to release into God's care. That absolutely I had the miracle of carrying her and birthing her and raising her. But ultimately, there was a plan unfolding for her life that was way beyond me, and she would need to grow and step into that and walk that out and fulfill that. And that is a sacrifice, isn't it? It's a lovely, weird mix of celebration and sadness in letting go. And there's a truth here that we can see in Mary's story and in the story of others throughout Scripture, where what was carried and birthed in them wasn't for them, but it was for others as part of God's purposes. David had a heart to build a temple for God, right? But that dream was never going to be realized in his lifetime. That was to be accomplished by his son, Solomon. And rather than allowing that to make him bitter and jealous and hard-hearted, he participated in it by helping Solomon to prepare for it. You know, one of the best pieces, and you've heard us say this before, but one of the best pieces of advice that we received when we transitioned leadership from Pastor David and Narelle was to, rather than rush off and try to chase after things that we would want to see happen, was to actually take a moment to stop and to look into David and Narelle's heart and vision and to see what wasn't yet accomplished or finished and start there. Start there. Why? Because Dayspring and all, you know, God's plans for Dayspring and our community here, it goes way beyond who was here in the beginning and all of us here now, as good and as wonderful and all of that is. But we are a part of birthing, carrying, stewarding, growing what God wants to have happen in our community, in our area of Sydney and beyond. Amen. For future generations. So this morning, how are we viewing our own lives? The assignments that God has given us, the blessings that he has given into your hands. Are we holding them so tightly with main character energy, believing that it's all about us and our own happiness and fulfillment? Or are we able to acknowledge this morning that our lives and everything that we have, it's actually also to be about his plans and purposes? Are we willing to work, build, and sow, knowing that maybe we won't be the ones to experience the full fruit of our labor? That's a hard one, right? Because after some hard work, we were hoping, I want to enjoy some of the fruits of that labor, and we will, but there's something more for us to grasp, amen? There's a surrender here. Are we able to share the spotlight with others? Are we able to help those coming up behind us, even if we feel like we ourselves yet haven't achieved everything that we'd hoped and dreamed, right? Not just here in the context of Dayspring, but maybe in the context of your workplace. Who is coming up behind you that needs your encouragement and your help along the way? You know, because even though it would seem otherwise, joy and peace are actually found in opening our hands instead of holding so tightly. Joy and peace are found in when we open up our hands and allow our lives to be a part of his greater plans and purposes. You know, scripture and history will tell us that, you know, those who seek to hold on tight and keep every sense of fulfillment and blessing to themselves, they end up a little twisted, don't they? End up a little twisted and bitter, and they miss the opportunity and the blessing that does come from being a part of releasing God's blessing, living life with open hands and open hearts. We see it in King Saul, right? He started well. He started in favor and blessing, but David coming up behind him, you know, he let that poison his heart with jealousy, and he missed the opportunity to finish well. Let's consider this morning where God might be wanting us to you know, open our hearts and allow Him to remove some of our own main character energy. Allow Him to soften our hearts to see how our lives are a part of His greater purposes. And as I was thinking, you know, and preparing about this, I also really felt that there's some of us in the room that, you know, when we think about relaxing our grip on what we think we need, you know, for our own happiness and for our own safety and all of that, that thought of surrendering to God, we're reluctant to do it because we feel like we'll somehow miss out. You know, sometimes there is a very real fear in us that thinks that if I let go and I surrender to God, I'm going to lose out in some way. I'll end up with the short end of the stick. I'll miss my opportunity or my moment. And if those things are stirring in your heart or mind this morning, you know, there's no condemnation. I've been there. Trust me, I'm still there all the time. Every time there's a new opportunity presenting itself to let go and surrender. But here's the greatest truth, the greater truth, that God is not a taker. God is not a taker this morning. Nowhere in Scripture will you find evidence that His plans and purpose for your life is for lack or for your destruction or to take something from you and to leave you wanting, to leave you left behind and disconnected. Now, Mary bursts into song as a result of her surrender. Listen to her words. "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." You know, there is a song of joy that we will all find ourselves singing as we, like Mary, surrender our stories for His, as we trust Him, amen? Trust that the one who created us and who is writing our story, the story of our lives, that it's a good story, that He has good intended for us, amen? That His heart's desire is for you and I to experience the fullness of joy and peace and blessing in this season. Why don't we stand? You know, as always, God is here and present this morning, and He's wanting to lighten the loads that we're carrying. He's wanting to lift our eyes again and give us some fresh, bigger perspective. He has new mercies for today, fresh joy and abundance of peace. You know, in a world selling us a story that joy comes as a result of striving and grasping and trying harder, waiting, searching, fighting even for our spotlight moment, right? He's here in all of His fullness and loving kindness this morning to remind us again that He has something so much better in mind if we could find ourselves in a place of surrender and trust this morning. Why don't we just close our eyes and hold out our hands? Picture that image from before that I had on the screen, you know, the interconnectedness of Scripture, that wild tapestry of coloured arcs connecting people's names, lives, stories, words, biblical themes, prophecies. Now picture that baseline extending out today and your life being recorded on that timeline. And picture some of those coloured arcs coming and reaching your life, you know, where you have experienced Jesus, the connections that God has brought your way along your journey so far. And now begin to see some of those coloured arcs branching out from your life to people in the future. There are people in the room this morning. God wants you to know your life is not disconnected off someplace isolated from the rest of the world, but it's lovingly connected into the story that God has been writing over humanity, full of meaning, purpose, and incredible value. And He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished writing. And read Psalm 121 over you and let it minister to your spirit. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, that we are precious in your sight. Lord, we marvel at the truth that there is not a single human being created throughout all of history that has not been under your loving sight. Help us to rest in this truth this morning. Help this truth, Lord, Holy Spirit, let it minister peace deep into the fabric of our bones. Let it settle every anxious thought. Where there is worry and concern over what has been, let your peace come and minister. Where there is anxiety about the future, Lord, would you remind us again, Lord, that you are watching, that you are leading, that you are writing a beautiful story over our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to be like Mary and to live open-handed, open arms, in trust and surrender. Surrendering our story for your story, our ways for your ways. Knowing that you are bringing the fullness of peace and joy and good over our lives. And Lord, show us, open our eyes to the truth, Lord, that just as amazing as it is to be a recipient of those things, Lord, you are wanting to release blessing through us to the lives of those around us. So Lord, help us, Lord, in this season to trust and to surrender. And Lord, may we experience a joy like we've never experienced before in the process of that. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.